And we have Alistair Spence-Clark with us from Spence Clark & Co. for our monthly financial clinic. Morning, Alistair.
Morning, Bill.
Nice and prompt. I hope you appreciate that.
I do, yes, I do. I do. Yeah, absolutely. This is we have to be very organised at the moment, and being prompt is a useful thing.
Well, indeed, because it's the 24th of June, and coming up in 6 days' time is when all accountants in Spain book their holidays to Barbados, I assume.
I wish that were the case. I'll tell you why in a second. But yeah, 30th of June is the deadline for the income tax filing. In fact, it's really the 25th of June for most people. Mm-hmm. If you have to pay tax, 25th of June is really the deadline. It gets very messy between 25th and 30th.
Okay.
And you can just imagine how pleased we are that deadline is almost finished. We're almost done with the work. So
great.
But we don't want anyone else to phone us, please.
And in terms of the ones who do have to pay tax then, which is the 25th of June, there's a kind of option to pay some in June and some in November, is that right?
Yeah, it is. Basically, when you do the filing, there's a box you can tick where you can pay 60% now. And then the balance you pay on the first week of November. The only problem with that is it's very easy to forget because there's no reminder system. So if you're going to tick that box, you've got to make sure you've got the money in the bank account for the direct debit for the 40%. But it's very, very handy for foreigners who often have untaxed income. So, they have quite a big annual bill. So being able to split it into two for free is actually pretty convenient.
One would have thought the logical thing to have done would be to make it 50% in June and 50% at the start of November. That'd be too obvious, wouldn't it?
Do you know, I've never questioned that. I've obviously been here. I've been in this country too long.
Well, have 60% out of you just in case we can't find you again.
Oh, God, yeah. Why 60? Why not 55? Anyway, that's the rule. If people can't pay, because, financial circumstances can be very difficult.
Yeah.
There is a means to defer payment over a period of months. It's not difficult. It used to be a really complicated thing. Now
right.
It's quite simple to do. So if the 60-40 doesn't work, well, you can pay over 6 months or
have
something.
Have all kind of pandemic kind of relaxations gone now then? Are we kind of assuming that life is normal again in the tax world?
Yes, right. Yes. I mean, okay. All the deadlines are normal. Everything is normal. But there are still a few hangovers. The people are still on ERTE. That's going to continue until September. So we're in the last throes, we hope, of the problem. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, why aren't we going to Bermuda or Thailand?
Yes,
or something?
Yes.
Thailand is your favourite, I know.
I can tell you why you're not going to Thailand, because it's a nightmare to get to Thailand.
Yeah,
right,
well, we've got another month of deadlines. It's absolutely horrendous. We, apart from the fact it's a quarter end, therefore VAT, income tax filings, etc., in the month of July. We also have the corporation tax,
right.
Company tax filing system starts at the beginning of July and ends on the 26th of July. Now that's a biggie. I mean it's more organised. It's less hassle because obviously the bookkeeping tells us what's what in terms of what we have to declare for our clients. But it is another massive deadline, and we only have about 3 weeks to do the tax filings, which is not very friendly. On top of that, we also have to organise all the annual general meetings for our clients. So, companies have to have an annual meeting to approve their accounts, and that's got to be done by the 30th of June. So we're right in the middle of that as well.
Yes.
We have to file the company accounts at the end of July. So these are one deadline after the other. So June and July are extremely busy months for us.
So the company accounts have always been a quite separate date from the personal accounts then in Spain?
Yeah, it's a completely different process. Yeah. Because companies have full-blown bookkeeping, so it's not like having to scratch around looking for information. It's all there. So the process is more, yes, it's more mechanical.
Yeah.
But what it does mean is that people are not so diligent. I mean, basically, this is the deadline where you have to finalize everything if you haven't already done so, which you should have done. Anyway, it's just the last month of deadlines. August is the time when we all go to sleep. And I know that the guys in my office are really looking forward to their holidays.
No, I'm sure they are. Which you'll presumably be paying for them to go abroad to some exotic location, are you? Is there a kind of recompense for their hard efforts?
No.
Thought it would be worth a try on their behalf, Alistair. Yeah. They'd love me forever if I got that one through.
We do have big celebrations, though. We take everybody out to have a ride.
To McDonald's? No, it wouldn't be McDonald's in your case, would it? No, it certainly wouldn't. No.
We choose somewhere very nice, somewhere very different where they wouldn't normally go, and we have a royal celebration.
Fantastic. So is that all our news stuff done? Should we move on to the meat of the... Oh, I can't say meat with you either, can I?
No, you can't. No.
Shall we move on to the nut roast?
The nut roast, yeah, the nut roast of the subject. Okay, I've chosen, I'm sorry for the listeners, two reasonably heavy subjects, but I make no apology really, apart from the fact that they are heavy, because they are extremely topical, and they are the inquiries we get on these subjects are quite incredible, actually. Yeah. The number of people who contact us with questions on these issues, so it really is worthwhile talking about it if people will bear with us. And the first one I'm going to choose, and it's incredibly obvious, I've talked about it endlessly, but it's, you know, does residentia mean tax residence?
It gets mixed up so much, doesn't it? And it's become even more confusing thing now, because the TIE has been brought into the picture now, and some people are confused whether that's the different thing, and they're mixing that up with NIE, and it's getting all kinds of disasters.
Oh, it's really... I mean, why should be people... You know, people just want to live here and have a good time.
Yeah.
You don't need to deal with all this stuff. But the reality is that people are still extremely confused about having a TIE and being tax resident, and I can't emphasise too much that they are completely separate pieces of law.
And sorry to interrupt you, Alice, before you carry on. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a TIE right now. You could still have the old document. Yeah.
You can have an old document. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You can have a little green card or an A4.
So it's not just TIE we're talking about here. We're talking about people who are resident in Spain and have the documentation to prove it. Yeah.
And people actually sort of say to me, but the TIE is different to the residencia. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's exactly the same thing.
Except that it's got a picture on it.
It's got a picture and it's got a hologram on it. That's all.
Exactly. But
in law, it is exactly the same thing. And the rules for TIE and residencia are completely different to tax law. Tax law is its own wonderful thing.
Yes.
Driving license rules are also completely different, but they all talk about people who are resident. And as a result of that, and they have different definitions of people who are resident.
Yeah.
And as a result of these conflicting bits of regulation which affect us all, people get very confused, and not surprisingly.
Mm.
So I'm just going to emphasize that, you know, there are a couple of situations where I can tell you black and white whether you're resident or not resident. And the biggest and the worst one is if you think you can choose to pay tax where you would like to, the answer is no, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people actually believe that. They actually, I want to pay tax in the UK. Well, I want to pay tax in Denmark. No, you don't. Mm. You can't. You have to pay tax where you're required to pay tax. And if you only have a home in Spain, you are a Spanish tax resident. There is no ifs, buts, or maybes. And an awful lot of people do only have a home in Spain and sort of keep their heads down and say, I pay my PAYE on my pension in the UK. No, that is not correct. And you are in trouble if they catch you.
Mm-hmm.
So... You've heard it on the radio, you've read it in the articles. Please don't think that you can get away with that, because eventually they will come for you.
What about if you just didn't know, Alistair?
Tough.
Right.
I mean, there are enough newspapers. There are enough you know, programs like this. I'm sorry, I'm slightly losing patience with this, because I think it's people's wishful thinking. You know, we're all human and we like to make decisions which suit us, and we like to interpret things in the way that benefits us most. But the fact is, we can't do that.
Mm.
And it's extremely unpleasant to have a letter from the tax office suggesting that you might like to pay some tax when you didn't expect it. You know, mm-hmm. I ask people to be realistic. And post Brexit, of course, it's much more acute, because instead of people just living here under sort of EU rules in a kind of vague way, they've had to get a TIE. That TIE is on the record. If I was the tax office, the first thing I'd be doing in next year is going through all the people who've applied for a TIE and checking whether they filed an income tax return. Mm. It couldn't be a simpler process.
Mm-hmm.
The immigration system in Spain, the data on the immigration database, is now available to the tax office. So all they've got to do is write a query in SQL or whatever language they use to say, give me a list of people who have got a TIE and who haven't filed a tax return.
But they could have filed one at some point in the past, though, to be fair, right?
Well, no, you have to file it every year.
Well, surely there's circumstances under which you don't have to file a tax return.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the first thing that they do is then they ask Inland Revenue, what have you got on this person? Then they find out they've got a UK minimum pension, as a result of which they've got no income tax to pay, and they probably won't bother writing to you.
Yes.
But they will find out from the Inland Revenue what your situation is.
Of course.
But yeah. Inland Revenue shows you how old I am. HMRC.
yeah, the Inland Revenue.
So, you know, regardless of whether you have any income in Spain or not, regardless of where your income comes from, if you live in Spain, you are tax resident in Spain. If you say to me, "Ah, oh, but I'm only here 5 months of the year, the rest of the time I'm on a boat," you're still resident here because this is where your only home is. You just cannot get away from the Spanish tax residency rules. So I ask people if they're not sure, please ask. We're very, very happy to answer questions like that. Go onto our website. Put the question into the little box for sending us a message, and we will come back to you within a couple of days for sure, telling you what your situation is. We'll even estimate your tax for free. So if you give us the information, we'll send you a free income tax calculation, just so that you know what you're dealing with.
Yes.
It's completely confidential, and we do that as a public service. Because, you know, we're foreigners and we have to deal with things that we don't understand. And if we can provide a little bit of light to our fellow expatriates, then we're very happy to do that.
Splendid. Okay? And so this is Articles 8 and 9 of the income tax law that we're referring to here,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Now, actually, yeah, the article I've got on the website is a little bit heavy. I warn you, but it's heavy deliberately. And it mentions, you know, horrible things like Article 8 and 9 because it's important that people understand the technicalities. Because it's quite a complex piece of law. It's not 183 days that everyone, you know, repeats.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of other factors which can make you tax resident. So please have a look at the website. If you want to find out a little bit more, read the article. It's about three pages long, actually. Mm-hmm. And I give specific examples, you know, people who are in particular examples, you know, things like, I was stuck here because of COVID. Do I have to file a tax return? Well, the answer is yes, you do. Unpleasant as that might be. Hopefully, if you don't, you'll get away with it, but you might not.
Mm.
So, you know, that article is written on a slightly more technical level than usual because it's important to be precise. And a good read of that will tell people what the situation is. And if they're not sure, because, you know, their circumstances are more complicated, then, you know, we're on the end of a phone or an email,
yeah,
to answer those questions. Okay.
And if you, for example, are living here and you are paying tax in, let's say, Germany, as a case, yeah, in point, rather than using the UK all the time, and you do get a letter from the tax office saying, you know, you should have been paying tax here, not in Germany, what then happens? Do they just ask you for the difference, or how does it work?
Well, with every country, Spain has a double tax treaty, and that prevents tax being charged on the same income twice.
Yeah.
What tends to happen is if the income is from a salary or from a normal pension, then only Spain has the right to tax. So in that case, you'd pay the tax in Spain and claim it back in Germany, mm-hmm, or Holland or wherever. Now, if you are a state employee, works for a local authority, council, state company, then only Germany would have the right to
right,
apply tax to that.
Right.
And Spain would have to accept that only Germany can tax that income.
I see.
Spain would tax any other income, of course, but there you go. You should not pay tax more in more than one country. It can be a bit inconvenient because obviously you've already paid tax in Germany or Holland, mm-hmm, or wherever, and then you have to go and get it back, and it might take 3 or 4 months to get it back. But that's why in Spain we can apply to postpone payment of income tax paid over a period of time.
Right.
So whilst you're getting the repayment, you can be postponing the tax in Spain for a few months anyway.
Fair enough. All right. That's hopefully okay, helpful to people. Now, the second one is something we did talk about before, but you were just explaining to me there that many people are still confused by this, and this is UK limited company income for somebody who is a Spanish tax resident.
Yes. Now, I'm amazed by the number of inquiries I get on this particular subject, because it's very, very popular for self-employed people in the UK to use a limited company. The reason for that is it's highly favoured by the tax and social security system, the national insurance system in the UK. Mm. And the game, and it's perfectly legal and very tax efficient, is to have a very small salary in the UK, which results in virtually no social security deductions, and then have a big dividend. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't work in Spain because the tax system and social security system is completely different, as right. you'd expect. You know, if you've been doing this for 10 years and you've got customers and suppliers and banks and everything set up in the UK, is the question is, can you continue to do it? And yes, you can. You can continue to do it. There is nothing illegal about it. But it does cause a few extra problems.
Right.
And that's where people like us get involved, because we can deal with those problems and we can guide people away from the pitfalls. And there are pitfalls in this type of situation.
Yes.
So it's nothing illegal about using a UK company, but it does increase problems. And the second most important thing is you've got to forget about your dividend salary mix that you've been using in the UK. You've got to go, effectively, the bottom line is that you've got to be receiving at least 60, 70, maybe 80,000, depending on family size and all the rest of it, in salary before a dividend becomes worthwhile. In other words, it's a completely different system, and you don't want to receive a dividend as a Spanish resident until you're up to 60 or 70,000 in income.
Okay.
Otherwise, you would just pay more tax. It's not the end of the world, but it's not very tax efficient. And our job is to make sure that people pay the correct amount of minimum amount of tax.
Yes,
that's what we do.
So I guess then, Alistair, the obvious thing to do would be to get rid of the UK company and set up in Spain as a self-employed person. Though, as you were discussing last month when Giles was sitting in for me, the rules about self-employment are just to become even more onerous.
Oh God, the Social Security! It hasn't happened yet.
Right, you know,
we haven't. We've had basically a paper, and I've written a slightly tongue-in-cheek article about the disconnection of the Spanish government with the actual people who live in this country. I think 3.5 million. Self-employed people who will not be happy to have their social security doubled or tripled.
Absolutely.
Anyway, putting that aside, the first thing to do when you have a UK company and you move to Spain is, do I really need it? Because at the end of the day, UK companies, as wonderfully cheap they are to run in a wonderfully efficient economy like the UK, or mostly efficient, is that they are an overhead, they're an extra cost. And the question is, do they achieve anything? And for many people, they achieve absolutely nothing apart from incurring extra cost. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we do is talk to the client about, do you really need to have a company? Can we not set you up as an autónomo in Spain? And simply you invoice, you know, you can even use the same company name without the word limited, you know, in your letterhead.
Yeah.
And you just invoice personally. No problem at all. Okay. You go do some filings in Spain, but that's a fact of life when you live in this country. So that's the first thing. So self-employment is the first option. Sometimes, you know, you need to have a company, because you want to limit your liability, all sorts of reasons for having a company, and you may have staff, etc. So you might want to set up a Spanish company. So that is another option. Mm-hmm. Now, having a UK company really does make sense if you've got stock in the UK. As I said, you've got customers, suppliers, banks, and all the rest of it. In which case, you know, you should continue with your company. You should not have to change the way you do business just because you've moved to Spain, as long as it's legitimate, of course. And what you have to do, though, is this is where the biggest problems will arise, because if a company is managed from Spain, it becomes sort of like a Spanish company.
Right.
It may be limited company in the UK registry, a company registry, but it starts becoming being regarded as a Spanish company because it's owned and managed by somebody who lives in Spain.
Mm.
Which is a complicated tax concept. It's a bit like your only home is in Spain, therefore you are individually a tax resident. In this case, you are managed from Spain, therefore your company effectively is subject to Spanish corporation tax. Now, you just don't want to get into that mess, because can you imagine having to go back 4 years or something to refile your corporation tax returns in Spain, pay your tax in Spain, and then try and claim it back in the UK. Can you imagine what a horrendous story that would be? So there are ways that you can avoid that. So, for example, you might appoint a UK-based director so that it's no longer 100% clear that it's managed in Spain. But essentially, it gets into the sort of esoteric and slightly complicated area where you do need professional advice, which is why if you don't have that and all you've got is a company that employs you and does business, let's say you're an IT consultant or something of that nature, well, actually, you're better off as an autónomo in Spain.
Except, of course, the big downside of that being that you can't deduct very much against it as you could in the UK.
Well, actually, there are a number of disadvantages. The first and foremost is that you cannot deduct the sort of expenses that you would normally be able to in the UK. Yep. Use of houses, office, yep. The internet. Because in Spain, if you use the internet personally as well as for the company, you can't deduct it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some very stupid deduction rules. But yes. But sometimes, you know, these costs might be $2,000 a year. And okay, the tax that you've lost on those deductions is 40% max.
Yeah.
And it's cost you €800. Well, actually, the cost of running the UK company is €800.
Yeah.
So, probably £1,000 actually. Mm. But so you know, that sort of decision process, it requires a bit of input from somebody who can answer the questions quickly.
Yeah.
And move it forward. There is actually a second thing, which is actually very important, and this is something I've been asked recently. I'd never considered it before. A lot of people want to pay UK national insurance to keep their pensions alive.
Sure.
Which is very, very logical and sensible. The only thing is that you don't need to be on a payroll in the UK to keep your pension alive. You don't need to pay NIC employee contributions or employer contributions, because the UK has this wonderful system called Class 3 National Insurance mm-hmm. Contributions. Well, Class 3 is £800 a year, and you can pay it by direct debit monthly if you want. And just by paying that, you can keep your UK pension rights alive. In other words, you can get to your full maximum of 35 years.
Okay.
So you've only got to pay £800 a year. Now, the other good thing about the £800 a year is it's tax deductible in Spain, because it's a social security contribution, and all social security contributions are deductible in Spain.
Right.
So the £800, if you're paying 40% tax at the top level, you know, it's actually only costing you £480 a year in contributions to keep one full year of pension contributions, which is actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
So having a UK company is not necessary if you want to keep your pension rights alive.
Got it. We're sadly out of time. It's one of those ones, we've talked about it before, that it's worth just calling you guys and getting the advice and getting the answers quickly, as you say, rather than, you know, procrastinating about it and trying to work it out from internet searches.
You don't want to be going backwards and forwards with correspondence with UK advisors, Spanish advisors, trying to make sense of something. You want to have a conversation where it's fluid, where you can ask a question, get an answer. And then you can make a quick decision. I think we all need that, a bit of simplicity in life, and that's what we're here for.
Fantastic. Let's tell people how they can find you then, Alistair. Give us your details.
Okay. The office phone number is 95282-2943, and you'll find us on the internet, spenceclark.com. Type, you know, Chartered Accountants Marbella, Tax Spain, you'll find us. And we're more than happy to help people on a purely preliminary basis. And but please don't phone us about your income tax.
I was going to say that. Don't mention the income tax. I think I mentioned it once and got away with it, as they said in Fawlty Towers. As always, Alistair, pleasure to talk to you. We'll speak to you again in another month's time. Take care. All the best.
Many thanks.
Cheers, and bye-bye.